No hate, no hype, no fear. We are TFR Frequency Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here again. It's Thursday. We've done it, ladies and gentlemen. It is Friday evening. I'm so excited. I don't know if you guys can tell. I can barely sit still. But good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good whatever it is to wherever you are out there. Appreciate you guys tuning in once again. We are live right now. Today, as I said, was Thursday. Today is the 26th day of February. And, we are live right now. So as such, you can go to truthfrequencyradio.com and check out the chat room. There's a couple other listeners in there, and very cool to have a chat room going during the show. Lots of fun back and forth going on between myself and the listeners, and well as also the listeners. Maybe I got that one wrong. Okay. Anyway. Appreciate you guys being in the chat room. Appreciate you guys checking out the show every day. Very good stuff going on. Today is going to be a huge show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not just saying that. Wolfgang Halbig is going to be joining us in about an hour. You guys may not know this. Wolfgang, obviously kind of the tip of the spear in this investigation of the Sandy Hook incident, and has been doing some amazing things kind of behind the scenes. He currently has 10 different outstanding FOIA requests, and so we're going to talk about some of that today. All of these relatively simple questions that he has been completely blocked on trying to get answers for. And when you hear the questions, if you put yourself in the mindset of one of these parents at Sandy Hook, I'll tell you what, it really starts to throw a wrench into the mainstream media's description of what actually happened there. I'm on the side of the fence that says the whole thing was a hoax. And the silver lining there is that they're able to pull off these crazy big false flag operations without actually hurting anybody. But that's pretty much the only silver lining I've been able to figure out. Wolfgang also has his own lawsuit that is moving forward, ladies and gentlemen. They have not been able to stop it so far. He's paying this one pretty close to his chest, but we probably will get a little bit of insight on that. But again, if you're on the fence about the whole Sandy Hook thing, or if you have no idea what I'm talking about, or if you have friends that have no idea what actually happened at Sandy Hook, this is not going to be a show you're going to want to miss. This is, Wolfgang Halbig has got more integrity than anybody I've met involved with any type of research. I mean, the guy is just absolutely a class act. So I'm very, very fortunate for all of us that he's going to take some time out of his schedule to join us today, talk about the latest developments going on with the Sandy Hook thing. And then tomorrow, Michael Cremo is going to be on. He will be coming on to talk about some archaeological anomalies that exist all around the world, kind of throw into question, well, pretty much the entire story of our history on this planet. He also talks quite a bit about Darwinism. And, what do you guys think about Darwinism out there? Do you realize that once you buy into Darwinism, it kind of pigeonholes you into believing a whole bunch of other stuff? I didn't really realize that, but I've been looking more deeply into Darwinism. James Perloff actually wrote a couple of great books about Darwinism that I could recommend too. So anyway, looking forward to that conversation tomorrow. I'm always interested in archaeological anomalies. One of my favorite books is Earth in Upheaval by Doblevsky. It's a Russian book, but talking about all of the crazy flood-related archaeological anomalies that have been found all over the world, and kind of falls into line with the catastrophism aspect, you know, that catastrophes, large, huge, almost instantaneous events actually shape our past much more than we think. And you know what is interesting about that, and I didn't know, it's always fun to me when we're going to have a guest on, and then there's something that happens in the news that kind of relates And we're talking about this book, Earth and Upheaval. It's a great book. If you haven't read it, I would totally recommend reading it. But also talking about Michael Cremo tomorrow and Darwinism and kind of our hidden history on the planet. There's a report that came out today. I'm just going to bounce around today because, well, it's my show and there's nobody else here to stop me. But in the science and tech news today, there is a report that's coming out of Siberia where some researchers, or well, they weren't really researchers. They've turned this over to researchers now, but some normal everyday guys, field workers, found a woolly rhinoceros baby. So let's just all pause for a second and reflect on how adorable and potentially delicious a woolly rhinoceros baby might be. But what's interesting about the story is that they just basically were walking down the field side there and saw the fur of this thing hanging out, and they thought, well, maybe it was a deer or something like that, went over to investigate, and they found a 10,000-year-old woolly rhinoceros that was frozen solid, right, and is almost completely preserved. All the teeth are there, eyeballs are there, obviously the wool is there. So they're looking at maybe a couple of weeks out on genetic testing. They're saying it's about 10,000 years old. But you got to think for a second here, people. First of all, you know, the finding of woolly mammals in Siberia, not news really necessarily. They have not ever found a woolly Siberian rhinoceros baby before. They've gotten a couple of adults, but they were not in good enough condition to work on. This one is apparently in fantastic shape. But it makes you wonder what happened. Why, you know, obviously this thing was alive when there were other predators around. There was always been carrion eaters. There's always going to be an animal that's going to come around and eat on the carcass of another animal. So what in the world happened in Siberia that an animal covered in wool would freeze solidly to death in just a few minutes? It doesn't look like it's diseased. It doesn't look like it had any kind of affliction. It isn't torn limb from limb, which is what you would expect if there was some kind of landslide event or something like that. Just interesting to me that they find, you know, an entire being 10,000 years old, essentially on the surface, just under the permafrost there in Siberia. And it just makes you wonder how much we don't know about our history and how much, the powers that be guide our belief structure in terms of what, you know, where we came from and what has actually gone on in the world. So I'm really looking forward to this Michael Cremo. Was it an ice age though? Obsidian in the chat room is saying it was an ice age, but it would have to have been almost immediate. I mean, how could you possibly freeze an animal as large as a 18-month-old woolly rhinoceros and just freeze it into place? I mean, you'd have to have the cold moving air. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense in my mind that something like that would have happened. So, or that something like that would have happened and we haven't been told about it. But again, you look at the Dobieski book. Let me make sure I get his name correct here. Velikovsky, that's the total. I was reading the publisher's name. Velikovsky's book, Earth and Upheaval. Can't recommend it high enough. It's an older book. I think it was produced in the 40s or 50s. Talking about all the incidents of, you know, they'll find these caves that are high up on the mountaintop and they'll be full of broken bones of animals that were not anywhere near that area. And so how did all that stuff get there and how did it get there so violently and so suddenly? It does stand to reason that there could have been some sort of flood. You look back in all kinds of history, you know, that exists across the board. But then, you know, we have these frozen animals like what they're finding in Siberia, and it just kind of blows my mind. Anyway, I hope you guys tune in for tomorrow's show. Michael Cremo, I'm really looking forward to that. And do want you guys to stick around for Wolfgang Halbig today because, again, we got to get this Sandy Hook thing resolved. And when I spoke with him yesterday, he was pretty adamant that we were very close, that something is going to happen right now. And I think he's correct. I think that this thing is about ready to be cracked wide open, and I think maybe all of us can help Wolfgang by giving him a little bit of support. So we'll talk about that when he comes on the show in about 45 minutes. Okie dokie. Well, let's move on to the international news because there's a lot of stuff going on. Obviously, huge fallout still from this wire cable leak that came out. South African government right now scrambling really to deal with the fallout of what they're now considering the worst intelligent leak in the last two decades there. So the country now coming to terms yesterday with its new status as the El Dorado of espionage, in the words of one intelligence officer, after hundreds of dossiers, files, and cables from the world's top spy agencies to and from South Africa were obtained by The Guardian and Al Jazeera. And this is going to come up in about half of the international articles today. That's how big this story is going to be. Now, the State Security Agency, or SSA, which is, you know, essentially the CIA in South Africa, they've remained very tight-lipped, right? But the main opposition party, which is the Democratic Alliance, the DA there, called for an urgent briefing to Parliament, saying the expose was likely to cause considerable embarrassment to the agency. I think that's probably fairly accurate. And the DA called for, again, the Parliamentary Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence to be briefed on whether the leak was likely to reveal any wrongdoing on the part of the SSA. It also warned that these revelations could be used as an excuse to press ahead with draconian legislation that campaigners say could have a chilling effect on whistleblowers and journalists. David Manier, he's the DA's defense spokesman there. He said, again, there's no doubt this leak is going to be deeply, deeply embarrassing. And this is a very long article, so I'm just going to kind of leave it right there. I want to jump over to, we had a little bit of a story yesterday about some information from this leak having to do with Israel essentially saying that Iran was much further along in their development and their agenda of trying to create nuclear weapons. And so what is interesting that's just come out regarding this leak is that it doesn't appear that Israel, in terms of Mossad, believed that rhetoric at all. Okay, so again, leaked international intelligence cables have now provided very telling insight into the reality of Iran's civilian nuclear program. This is the issue that has obviously been continually hyped up and distorted by the West and by the Israel leader Benjamin Netanyahu. In September of 2012, Prime Minister Netanyahu echoed fellow war criminal Tony Blair's infamous lie that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction in the run-up to the 2003 invasion, also claimed that Iran was on the verge of creating a nuclear bomb, suggesting that the country was on the cusp of enriching uranium to levels sufficient enough to produce a weapon. The picture was painted by Netanyahu at the UN speech, which to take seriously was to buy into the notion that Iran was on course to introduce a Middle Eastern apocalypse. However, the cables between Mossad, Israel's spy agency, and the South African spy agency, SSA, conceded that Iran, quote-unquote, was not performing the activity necessary to require or produce weapons. There it is, plain English, Netanyahu contradicting his own intelligence services there, and the lie about Iran's nuclear intentions. This is why I want to talk about this today. When was the last time you guys heard Iran do anything negative? And I don't mean hearing negative stuff that Iran is accused of doing by the West. I'm talking about when was the last time you heard of Iraq invading or Iran invading a country or dropping bombs on some other sovereign nation? I haven't heard about it in a long time, and maybe I'll go do some digging after the show here, but this lie about Iran's nuclear intentions has been peddled by many in the media, and it still is today. Iran, which again has not attacked a nation for hundreds of years, is presented as an existential threat to Israel and to world peace. It is often claimed falsely that the Iranian leadership has previously expressed the desire to wipe Israel off the map, and I've read that before. Again, now I'm wondering where that source information is coming from. But again, another dangerous untruth that persists, despite the fact that the U.S., Israel's financial and political backer, not Iran, which is it's the U.S., again, that has actually dropped a nuclear weapon in the past. Again, we created one and then pulled the trigger on it. The espionage cables leaked to Al Jazeera and shared with The Guardian underscore what we knew all the time, that the so-called threat from Iran is false. The leaks perhaps don't tell us anything we didn't already know, but we consider that, in truth, it is Israel that presents a threat to peace in the region, itself boasting hundreds of nuclear weapons while refusing to sign the Non-Proliferation Treaty. Coincidentally, Iran is a signatory to the Non-Proliferation Treaty. So it's pretty clear that in this ongoing war of information that there are some facts here that are fairly important. There are facts here that cannot be highlighted enough, and until the threat posed against Iran diminishes, we're going to keep highlighting them. That's the only thing we can do. The wars in the very recent past, which have been made to believe were justified, were all based on fiction rather than facts. From Iraq to Libya, the attempt to make case for Syria, in each instance, false claims were made, right? When we were drummed up into the minds of the public, the large sections of the media. We were told that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction. Gaddafi planned to massacre his own people to remain in power, and so on and so forth. And this cannot and must not be allowed to continue with Iran, okay? In March, when Netanyahu is expected to address Congress, he will, in all likelihood, use the platform to ramp up the hyperbole against Iran, especially given the diplomacy between the U.S. and Iran, which has been pretty icy for years now, although it has now began to thaw in recent months. But I just wanted to point that out again, that this agenda against Iran, especially coming from Israel, is pretty ridiculous. I mean, I can't imagine a country with 100 nuclear weapons. Think about the idea too that having nuclear weapons, all it does is bolster your own security. All it does is give you leverage. Because Iran, we can sit here and we can accuse them of being knuckle-dragging, cave-dwelling, crazy people all we want to. But I'll tell you what they're not is stupid. They're not going to launch a nuclear preemptive attack because they would be wiped off the face of the earth by every other country in the region. That's the whole reason that nuclear weapons have any kind of leverage against anybody else, is because it's mutually assured destruction. So even if Iran was potentially getting ready to have a weapon, the idea that they would just, you know, off the cuff decide to attack Israel seems to be a little far-fetched to me. Just saying. Okay, but Israel's, again, Prime Minister Netanyahu on Wednesday rebuffed criticism in Washington of his plans to speak to Congress. He's accusing world powers now of forsaking a pledge to prevent Tehran from acquiring nuclear weapons. Remember, we had this discussion yesterday that Barack Obama and the officials in Tehran kind of coming to an agreement now. It looks like some movement in terms of this Iran's, you know, nuclear ambition resolution. It looks like we're gonna kind of put them under the gun for about 10 years, and if they don't, you know, do anything outside of our wishes, then we're gonna allow them to continue to develop things. So Netanyahu obviously looking at that, looking at the icy situation between him and Barack Obama right now, he's gonna step up and say, you know, we're violating our agreement to prevent Tehran from acquiring weapons, even at the same time when we know that he has come out, or his intelligence community has come out of Mossad saying that they don't have the capability and that they are, you know, are not willing to, not looking to do anything with their capability. So anyway, that's what's going on in that respect. And here I want to talk a little bit more about this, because now it appears the Iranian nuclear program, this whole thing, is brought Saudi Arabia and Israel closer together. According to a new report in the Israeli media, the European official in Brussels told Israeli Channel 2 that Saudi Arabia has now offered to let Israeli fighter jets use its airspace to attack Iran whenever necessary, in exchange for Israel making some progress in the peace talks with the Palestinians. So again, using Saudi airspace means the Israeli Defense Forces could take Tehran at a shorter distance without having to fly all around the Persian Gulf. The Channel 2 report also highlights shared intelligence between the Jewish state and the Arab nation on Iran's nuclear program. Both of them obviously still drumming up the hyperbole about Iran, saying that they're worried about the outcome of the Geneva talks that are currently underway. Of course, talking about President Barack Obama and the leaders from Tehran talking about trying to get to this resolution, whatever it's going to come out to be. And although Jerusalem and Riyadh do not have diplomatic ties right now, there have been many unconfirmed reports about a possible coordination between them against Iran. Some other Arab states, including Egypt, Qatar, and the UAE, have also expressed concerns about Tehran's nuclear program, which Iran claims is being developed for peaceful purposes only. Nevertheless, these major Sunni states fear that allowing Iran to continue enriching uranium and build centrifuges might launch a nuclear arms race in the region. There's already a nuclear arms race in the region, and Iran is dead last because they don't have anything. Look at Pakistan. Look at Israel. I mean, this is crazy. It's just crazy. It's just more, I think what it is that they have been a relatively peaceful country for a long time, and we just can't have that. It sounds like they need some freedom to me. But here's the, you know, the retaliatory action from Iran right now. They carried out some mock exercises, yesterday in the Strait of Hormuz, including attacks on a replica of an American carrier with gunboats and missiles. And a third of all seaborne trade flows through the Straits of Hormuz. The Islamic Republic sees the Persian Gulf between Iran and the Sunni Arab states as its own backyard and believes it has legitimacy in protecting its interests there. And at a ceremony to mark the exercises, the commanders of the Revolutionary Guards and other dignitaries were there. The staged war games was a show of force by Iran due to the rising tensions in the region. Iran has always threatened to shut off the strait if it dealt to be under threat by hostile powers. So it's pretty much the only card they have left to play. At this point, somebody in the chat room, Kaiser Chief, making it very clear for everybody, what does Iran have that we want? Is it oil? Maybe? I don't know. That's a good call. Could it be oil? Resources? Makes you wonder. Also, let's see. Okay, moving away from that whole issue now. Moving into the Ukraine issue. Poroshenko still urging the neocon U.S. supporters for total war with Russia. They are trying to figure out a way to circumvent this old proclaimed policy of not delivering weapons to Ukraine. But I would imagine there are some things going on behind the scenes right now. It does look like, as of today, that the Ukrainian military, the coup military, has followed through on its offer to remove the heavy artillery from the area. And they were doing that this morning from what I gathered. But again, is this just them laying the groundwork to allow for UN peacekeepers to come into the area? I would be surprised if, what'll happen is they'll pull all the military out, the quote unquote legitimate military and the legitimate arms from wherever they're coming from. And then they'll bring the peacekeepers in and there'll be all these decrees about getting the borders back on control. And it'll just be a bad day for the people over on the east side of the country there. So I can imagine this is just a move to make that happen. Okay. Moving on. Anyway, we don't really know what's going on in Ukraine right now. They are moving forward on the agreement, but no new indications of what's happening have come out yet. So when I do know something, of course, I'll let you guys know as soon as I do. I want to give some bad news to Canada and all my Canadian friends right now. Lori, talking to you. Canada's Electronic Surveillance Agency right now covertly monitoring vast amounts of Canadians' email as part of a sweeping domestic cybersecurity operation, according to newly revealed top secret documents. The surveillance initiative revealed Wednesday by CBC News in collaboration with, surprise, surprise, The Intercept is sifting through millions of emails sent to the Canadian government agencies and departments, archiving details about them on a database for months or even years. The data mining operation is carried out by the Communications Security Establishment, or CSE, which is Canada's equivalent to the NSA. Its existence is disclosed in documents, again, obtained by The Intercept from NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden. Apparently, the emails vacuumed up by the Canadian agency as part of its mandate to defend against hacking attacks and malware targeting government computers. It relies on a system codenamed Pony Express to analyze the message in a bid to detect potential cyber threats. So again, they're saying ostensibly that this data mining program only affected communications that were sent directly to the government or directly to agencies working with the government. Because again, that's how we know that all of these Trojan type malware gets in. You'll get an email from somebody and it'll have an attachment in it like a JPEG. Open that email up and bam, you're infected. So essentially that's what they set this program up to do. But last year, CSE actually acknowledged that it collected some private communications as part of these cybersecurity efforts, refused to divulge the number of communications being stored or to explain how long the intercepted messages would be retained. But now the Snowden documents can shine a new light for the first time on the huge, and I do mean huge, scope of the operation, exposing the controversial details of what the government actually withheld from the public. Under Canada's criminal code, CSE is not allowed to eavesdrop on Canadians' communications, but the agency can be granted special ministerial exemptions if its efforts are linked to protecting government infrastructure, as I said, a loophole that the Snowden documents show is being used to monitor the emails. But in the top secret CSE document on the security operation dated from 2010, the agency says it processes 400,000 emails a day, and it admits that it's suffering now from an information overload because it is, quote unquote, scooping up too much data. The document outlines how CSE built a system to handle the massive 400 terabytes of data from internet networks each month, including Canadians' emails as part of the cyber operation. Just to give you, that's 400 terabytes. Just to put that into a reference point here, a single terabyte of data can hold about a billion, that's a billion with a B as in, boy, that's a big number, pages of text, a billion pages of text, or about 250,000 average sized MP3 files, and they are collecting, as I said, 400 terabytes a day. The agency notes in the documents that storing large amounts of passively tapped network traffic for days to months encompasses the contents of email, attachments, and other online activity. It also adds that it stores some kind of metadata, which is the data that's showing, you know, who you contacted, when you contacted, not necessarily the content of the message, but it does store the metadata for months to years. So there you go. Do you guys all feel nice and warm and fuzzy up there in Canada now? I'm sure I do. That's helping. That makes me feel good. Also, three Al Jazeera journalists were detained in Paris for operating a drone in an urban area. The arrests follow, obviously, the sightings of unmanned aerial vehicles at sensitive locations in the French capital earlier this week. All three journalists are foreign nationals, according to Paris prosecutors there. And the Associated Press reported that the journalists found near the Bois de Boulogne woodland in the western Paris were aged 70, 54, and 36. One was piloting the drone. Second one was filming him piloting the drone. And the other guy, he was just watching. So there's no evidence, really, that the journalists were involved in the drone appearances near the Eiffel Tower, according to the police there. Remember, at least five different unmanned aerial drones were found to be flying around Friday night, again, near all these sensitive sites. This is where it got interesting to me, though. Drone operators are required to have a municipal permit to fly a UAV over densely populated areas in Paris. And the rule breakers each face punishments, listen to this, of a year in prison and a fine of $85,000 for flying a drone that you and I can go buy at Best Buy. That's just crazy. Anyway, they weren't able to capture officials, you know, officers weren't able to capture any of the UAVs. And authorities this day, they're still not sure if the flights were being coordinated. And now we're talking, of course, about the ones that happened on Friday night. But $85,000 for flying a drone, it's 2 months after Christmas. Of course, people are going to be out flying drones. It's just, what in the world are we coming to, ladies and gentlemen? Anyway, we got to go to this break. I appreciate you guys all hanging out in the chat room. So nice to see all of you guys this morning. And we got lots more news to cover. I'll try and get through a whole bunch right after this break. Wolfgang Halbig will be joining us in about a half an hour. Keep it right here, guys, your daily dose of the programming. We are live right now. My name's JD. This is your Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. We'll be right back, guys.
Chris and Cherie Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark as ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky. And you realize you are not prepared.
I am telling you, take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Covert Report with Susan Lindauer.
Saturday and Sunday on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys very much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. Thank you guys also for being in the chat room this morning. Love seeing all you guys in there. Kev Baker's in the chat room right now, ladies and gentlemen. The one and only. Can't recommend his show highly enough. Really can't recommend anybody's show highly enough on Truth Frequency. The hosts in this place are just absolutely astounding. The family network mentality here. Oh, man, I tell you, it's just a breath of fresh air, and I'm so excited to be a part of it all. So everybody say hi to Kevin out in the chat room. I tell you, Kaiser Chief's in there, Eric's in there, Jim's in there, Lex is in there every day. Love having him in there. Obsidian, we got Robert hanging out, Shark, Woodwolf, and, of course, PRC News hanging out in the chat room with us this morning. Thank you guys all for being in there. Love having you guys along for the ride. Let's jump back into some international news here real quick. I had one other story I just wanted to touch on real quick for you guys. Russia right now is still going to be continuing to support Cyprus, which is not a surprise given the fact that most of the banking mafiosos bank in Cyprus. Maybe you guys don't know, but Cyprus was kind of like the original offshore bank account. I'll tell you what, because back when Phoenicia was going strong, that's where they'd go. They would paddle out to Cyprus and they'd bury their stuff on the beach there. That was like the original offshore holding account. And so Cyprus still going strong here. Russia's VDB, Capital Investment Bank, and the Cyprus Finance Ministry successfully placed Cypriot sovereign bonds at $750 million for the first time since the crisis occurring obviously back in 2012. Cyprus plunging into an economic crisis as the financial downturn in Greece spread over to the Cypriot banks and forced large account holders to accept reductions in the value of their deposits. A lot of conjecture at that time that most of those large depositors, again, were kind of like mobsters from Russia. But anyway, Russia has invested $33 billion in Cyprus, which is more than 80% of all of its foreign investment in the country. And the Russian president said that Cyprus has invested $65 billion back into the Russian economy so far this year. So again, Russia and Cyprus going to continue to be working together. Makes you wonder also about this entire situation going on with Greece. I tell you, we're not out of the woods in this Greece situation yet, and we'll come into that here when I get into some economic news. I got to say this other headline here really quick, just and I'm sorry. I'm going to apologize in advance. This made me giggle, and I know it makes me prejudicial and a horrible person, but I can accept that. So I'm just going to go ahead and say the sentence, and then if you guys giggle, you'll know why I giggled, and we can all feel bad about ourselves together for a minute, and that's fine. But the headline says, Poland is likely to send military advisors to help Ukraine's defense aid. Poland sending military advisors. I got to believe in my heart of hearts that there is a joke in there someplace. Going to digress. I'm going to move away. But I just had to put that out there. Anyway, the head of Poland right now, very staunch anti-Russian and very big supporter of Poroshenko. So obviously going to be following suit with requests from Poroshenko to help with some situation, obviously, that's going on in Ukraine right now. But anyway, thought that was a funny headline. Just made me kind of giggle. Today, supposedly, allegedly, the FCC is going to hold its vote on the Hey, nobody's making fun of me in the chat room. That's great. Federal Communications Commission, Tom Wheeler, is supposed to be holding the vote on net neutrality today. A lot of people really upset about this right now. I'll tell you, I was kind of on the fence. I didn't really know which way I wanted to lean in terms of this net neutrality thing. But the more I have read recently, the more fearful I become just at the idea of the United States itself having any kind of control over the global resource known as the internet. So there have been a couple of senators and congressmen who have stepped up and said, whoa, we need to slow this vote down. We need to have some more, it would be really great if you guys could disclose all of these, restrictions and things that are going to be coming out in terms of this. And so, maybe we should have some more opportunity for public disclosure. We should have some opportunity for public comment. And essentially, the chair of the SEC, Wheeler, said, no, we've already had that opportunity to vote. You guys may not know, but the FCC actually got more than 400,000 responses when they first initiated this whole FCC control of the internet agenda. People were really up in arms about it, and it probably had a lot to do with Colbert, going on air and making a big hubbub about it too. But lots and lots and lots of people upset about this. Tom Wheeler doesn't seem like he cares, so it does look like they're going to move forward on this voting today. Whoa, that's a lot of tongues in the chat room. So you guys miss so much if you're not in the chat room. I swear, that's like half the show is in there. Missing out. Anyway, so we'll keep you guys up to date. I probably won't have any information by the end of the show. If anybody has information on the vote as it's going on, I'd certainly like to break it. So let me know if you guys hear anything out there. Wanted to talk just a little bit, too, about these these three guys that got arrested for supposedly getting ready to go and join ISIS in Syria. I was thinking about this quite a bit yesterday, and it really bothers me, and I got to tell you why. First of all, these guys are pretty normal dudes. One of them ran a kiosk at the mall. Two of them were actual American citizens. Granted, they were Muslim, but they were, born here, raised here, and not necessarily radicalized. Well, the indications are coming out now from the court case. They had their arraignment hearings yesterday. They're accusing one of the guys. They actually arrested him at the airport Wednesday. He was getting ready to go, apparently, hijack a plane in Turkey and then try and land it in ISIS-controlled territory to, quote-unquote, get those guys a plane. And another guy was allegedly discussing an assassination attempt on Barack Obama. So the arrest, of course, happening at the behest of the FBI. It's very few and far between that there are actually homegrown terrorists that would do something like this. And I gotta be honest, this isn't how intelligence agencies operate, right? I think the FBI, when we hear stories like this, we're hearing a story about the quote-unquote lone wolf, the radicalized guys, the guys who want to kill the president or hijack a plane, all the normal, typical, hyperbole about the terrorists. But that's not how intelligence agencies operate. That's completely not how they do it. And I'll tell you, I saw a great movie the other day. What was it called? I can't remember right now, but it's a fantastic spy movie, and it was about U.S. spy intelligence agencies operating overseas and operating inside of Germany. And they were basically tracking a guy who was a known terrorist, and he was getting ready to go do some bad things. Or that was what the German police thought. And they said, well, if you guys know where this guy is, talking to the American intelligence agency people, they said, you guys need to help bring him to justice. You need to help us find him so we can arrest him. And they said, well, that's not our job. We're not police officers. What we do is we watch these guys and we see where the money is going and we watch the connections being made. We gather intelligence. That's all they do. So the idea that these guys were allegedly getting ready to go and do something and that the CIA would not have allowed them. I mean, obviously, if these guys are talking about stealing a plane and driving it, to Turkey, they're going to obviously have to have communication with people in Turkey. They're going to have arrangements with people all over the place. There's going to be indications. So the intelligence that is gathered from allowing these people to go and do what they're doing has got to be way more valuable than, well, I guess you have to weigh it between that and the amount of fear they can create just by putting these stories out in the news, which is more valuable. And I would have to admit at this point that since they're putting the picture out and they're putting the story out, that the fear angle is way more valuable, that the intelligence didn't really offer anything. These guys may have really been just lone wolf type people. But again, that's not what the intelligence agencies are supposed to do. They're supposed to be gathering information. So again, these guys, ostensibly could have been a threat, but apparently didn't have enough information, to garner, the continued monitoring of them. So, I don't know. Take it with a grain of salt. I don't really believe that the FBI is capable of solving a crime that they didn't first initiate in these, the events that are that I like call nurtured events or coddled events. And again, I think they find these guys that are down on their luck, and they start, getting their hopes up and getting them to do things. And I think that's what we're seeing here. Again, the fear angle, I think, bigger than the intelligence angle at this point. Okay, we had a little story, I think it was like a week ago, we talked a little bit about the fact that if this illegal immigrant executive order goes through and all these people get to stay and they get their social security numbers, that they are going to be eligible for some earned income tax credit and possibly some child tax credit going back a couple years. And people kind of up in arms saying, well, these people, you know, are here and now we're going to end up giving them a whole bunch of money. But how much is it exactly? Well, some people sat down and tried to do the math, and actually it's a little more startling than I thought it was going to be. So the new CRS report, which was dated Wednesday, came out this week. People requested CRS to gauge the tax benefits again for an amnesty beneficiary and how much they could potentially accrue. So it looked at the earned income tax credit and the child tax credit for a hypothetical family from the years of 2001 until 2014. And specifically, they said people were interested in the value of these credits for a married couple with three or four children. In addition, they provided information for every year, saying that the family's income had to be equal to the maximum amount of earnings a taxpayer could have and still receive the maximum amount of EITC. So this income level is often referred to as the phase-out threshold, and it's adjusted annually for inflation. Anyway, that's not really relevant. I mean, it's relevant, but it's not important to what we're talking about right now. So CRS calculated, again, the maximum level of tax credits available for these hypothetical families with three or four children. And it found that for a family with three or four children in 4 years, with just three children in 4 years from 2011 to 2014, based on the phase-out threshold amount, they would be able to obtain $35,521 in earned income tax credit and child tax credit. $35,000, ladies and gentlemen. So there you go. That would be a boon to the economy, would it not? I'm so excited. Go team. All right. Also, there was an exclusive NBC5 investigation that found hundreds, perhaps even thousands, of airport security badges, known as security identity display area badges, are unaccounted for across the country. According to the Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport, they sent a response saying that more than 1,400 badges were stolen or lost over approximately the last 2 years. Larry Wensley, who once led security for American Airlines, believes the missing badges present a fairly serious concern for security officials and are something that terrorists would like to have in their possession, and said that these numbers, 1,400 in 2 years, completely unacceptable. So the TSA said it's security-sensitive information. They will not come on record and say just exactly how often and how many of these airports' IDs go missing. But police reports obtained by NBC5, investigated from the DFW airport, show that more than just ID badges disappear every year. Employees there at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport have reported lost and stolen airline uniform shirts, an entire FedEx pilot's uniform, missing TSA badges, and even a federal flight deck officer's credentials and badge, which would obviously allow a pilot to carry a gun onto a plane. And in one case, a pilot report said that an employee who lost his airline and security badges did not call to report them missing, hoping that someone would turn them in, and the employee's lost badge was not deactivated for 3 days. Anybody want to go to the airport? I'm ready to go someplace. Oh, so exciting. Okay, Hillary Clinton also kind of caught in what some people are describing a massive act of corruption. Hopefully will be as far as ending her career. But again, when it comes to where Hillary Clinton gets her campaign money, the putative 2016 Democrat presidential frontrunner has made her position pretty clear. What difference does it make? The Clinton Foundation certainly doesn't think it makes any difference, since the giant nonprofit silently removed its rules forbidding foreign governments from making donations. Now the fundraising arm of Billary and Hillary Incorporated can just watch the money roll in. So according to the Wall Street Journal, the foundation raised at least $48 million from overseas governments since 2001, and some of this money comes from some fairly worrying sources. One instance, and the largest donor, obviously, Saudi Arabia, whose Sharia on steroids government has donated no less than $10 million of that total. Another donor is a specific Canadian government agency interested in promoting the Keystone XL pipeline. While the Keystone XL pipeline is no doubt a beneficial project, it certainly creates the image of conflict of interest, if not a quid pro quo relationship. Also, there's that other donor, Qatar, the small Arab nation that has faced numerous human rights violation charges over its de facto slave labor in preparation for the 2022 World Cup, which it will be hosting. Of course, the Clinton Foundation denies any connection to whatever campaign Hillary may be planning. But wouldn't her running for the highest office in the land, the office which then has the power to nominate the Secretary of State, after all, be even bigger conflict of interest than what we're seeing here now with this foundation? I think it would be. I think it would be. Just putting that back out there, Hillary Clinton and the Clintons, not good people. And we all risk death from just saying that on the radio. And I'm not kidding. These people have a slew of bodies behind them. Hey, let's do some good news here. North Dakota. Got to give you guys a major, major prop here today. The State House in North Dakota approved a bill last week that would authorize the farming, production, and sale of industrial hemp in the state, effectively nullifying the federal prohibition of the same. Introduced by Representatives David Monson, who is a Republican, and Alan Fair, also a Republican, along with Senator Tom Campbell, House Bill 1436 not only sets up the framework to effectuate a commercial hemp farming program in the state, it expressly rejects any need for the federal approval before growing hemp in the state. It reads in part, "A license required by this section is not conditioned on or subject to review or approval by the United States Drug Enforcement Agency." So anyway, HB 1436 passed through the State House successfully on the 20th by a resounding 87-5 vote. The bill now moves on to the State Senate for further consideration. If they pass this into law, we'll ensure that North Dakota will join five other states now, Colorado, Oregon, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Vermont, that have already passed similar measures. Farmers in southeast Colorado started harvesting the plant in 2013. Farmers in Vermont began in 14, and again, effectively nullifying federal restrictions on such agricultural activities. On February 2nd, the Oregon hemp industry officially opened for business, and 1 week later, the first license went to a small nonprofit group who hopes to plant 25 acres this spring. And the Tennessee Agricultural Department recently put out a call for licensing, signaling that hemp farming will soon start there. If you're looking for an investment opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, not only the hemp, I mean, in and of itself, what a fantastic plant, requires very little in terms of fertilizer, requires hardly anything in terms of eradication of pets. Eradication of pests. Both of those words don't even make sense. Herbicides, pesticides, doesn't need any of that stuff. Grows like a weed, very easy to grow. But I would be investing either in farmland and getting ready to start getting on board with this, or, like Mark Twain said, when there is a gold rush on, it is the right time to be in the pick and shovel business. So start thinking about the companies that are going to be dealing with these, the new textile industry that's going to be opening. You're going to have extraction of hemp oil. You're going to have hemp seed distribution. The plants themselves, you know, just growing one field gets you into like three different businesses. I mean, the machines that do the harvesting, absolutely, that's huge. Or even finding a company that's going to start supplying seeds to these people. You know, we used to grow all this stuff in our country. This is what got us through World War I, growing hemp. And one of the main issues that they're going to have right now is that all that original seed stock, all the stuff that grew well in Kentucky, well, that was all destroyed in Kentucky. So they're going to have to go through all kinds of trial and errors to try and figure out which are the correct strains to be growing. There's not a lot of heirloom hemp seeds still available out there. So, again, a lot of investment opportunity right now with this hemp thing. And I hope that people are thinking about stuff like that. I think it's a big deal. Okay, moving on, let's get into some economic news here real quick, give you the market rundown. Pretty flat trading right now. I mean, about as flat as it could possibly be. Dow still sitting above 18,000. We're at 18,221. S&P well above 2,000 at 21,010. But again, no real movement. 0.03% move in the S&P today and 0.02% on the Dow. So not a lot going on. Dollar index up a whole percent again today, so that's great. Happy days are here again. We're sitting at 95 and 21, which is just absolutely mind-boggling. Gold come up just a touch, 1210. We'll get you an ounce of gold, 16 and 61 big pennies. We'll get you an ounce of silver. Crude oil sitting at 49 and 22. I will see if I can find the Brent here for you guys, but I imagine it's right around 60 bucks right now. It seems to be hanging out pretty steadily there. The Euro index dropping again. Son of a man, my Euro account going down, ladies and gentlemen. Not good. That's what keeps me on the air. 112 at the Euro USD right now. And Bitcoin coming down also, 231. So I don't know what's going on. Not a lot of safe haven buying, a little commodity buying, but certainly not a lot, especially you would think there'd be a lot more going on given what's going on in Greece right now. Again, we're not really sure where we're exactly at with this whole Greece situation. Give you the BDI right now. It is up about 8 points a day, sitting at 524. There was an interesting article that came out from the Hellenic Shipping News, and this is kind of a news site that the shippers follow. It talks a lot about really talks about the dry market, you know, what ships are being loaded, what they project to be going on, things like that. It also talks a lot about the scrapping of boats and new purchases, stuff like that. So it's a good way to keep an eye on the people who are keeping an eye on the bulk dry index. But anyway, they're coming out and saying now that the dry bulk market could exit from the historical lows in the coming weeks because, again, Chinese buyers right now are going to be reentering the market after the holiday celebrations. Their Chinese New Year celebration ends, I believe, on the 5th of March. So, again, we'll start to see an increase in demand for products picking up in China. We're starting to see it a little bit already. The iron ore fixture activity is coming up. Chinese iron ore fixture volume shows solid levels according to the Commodore Research. And there's also an increase in Chinese iron ore fixture volume with 26 vessels being chartered right now, which is 5 more than the previous week and 3 more than the week before that. So who knows? Maybe we're going to get maybe the demand will go up overall and we'll start to see things get better here. I don't know. I mean, I imagine that the port closures on the West Coast still have quite a bit to do with how the Baltic Dry Index or how at least the shipment of commodities is going to affect us here in the United States. Okay, let's talk about Greece here for just a second because Tyler Durden of Zero Hedge putting out a pretty good question today. He asks again, if everything is awesome, which is a great song. Have you guys heard that? Everything is awesome. Okay, if everything is awesome in Greece and Europe, then why, oh why, did Greek government bond yields surge higher yesterday? Greek stocks did begin to tumble again yesterday, and the Greek bank stocks, and less so bonds, did collapse. The Greek CDS did jump. It appears that as the euphoric relief wears off, as the Wall Street Journal reports, doubts over the willingness of Greece's left-wing government to follow its creditors' orders on budget cuts and economic overhauls spilled into the public today, and the IMF head Christine Lagarde stated that the Greeks' proposal, quote unquote, is not conveying clear enough assurances that the government intends to undertake the reforms. And even Syriza officials admitted it is difficult to determine how the government can fulfill its promises, including the debt write-off with this agreement. Okay, so doubts right now, again, beginning to bubble up across Europe's policymakers and the markets. And I'll tell you, if you get an opportunity to go to redpillreports.com, it's fun to get into the show section. You can learn all about the guests, and you can also see a lot of these news articles that we're going over. But Tyler Durden at Zero Hedge does such a great job of putting all the charts in that kind of exemplify what he is talking about. And you can just see the doubts appear in the markets pretty much right when this news broke yesterday. It's a great pyramid. The deal going up, and all of a sudden, well, inner doubts, and we're on a slide back down again. So we're definitely not out of the woods in terms of Greece right now. There has been, again, more conjecture about bank runs continuing there. People are still pulling money out. It looks like 70% of the outflows right now are actually coming from Greek corporate accounts. So again, not only the citizens there pulling money out of the banks, we are seeing a bank run. I mean, it might be in slow motion and it may not be in the news cycle, but people in Greece right now, again, still concerned. The markets went down yesterday there. It doesn't look good right now. So we'll keep an eye on that because again, who knows what's going to happen if that thing spoils over into the rest of the world here. We're going to run out of time before I get into the science and stuff, I'm sure, but give you a quick heads up. TJ Maxx raising their minimum wage. Also, going up to $9 an hour here pretty soon, following suit with what Walmart just released earlier in the week. There is a fantastic investment opportunity that I wanted to talk to you guys about today, but I may skip ahead here. But there is a solar farm project and a new investor program. You can get involved for just about $250,000, buy into a larger solar farm as it's being built, and then it gets turned over to the municipal sources or whoever is going to be taking over, and then you get residuals on it forever. So for as little as about $250,000, you can get involved with this ginormous solar boom that's going on across the country right now. I mean, they're saying that I think a new solar system is being installed every 90 minutes in the country right now, and it's crazy if you think about the price of oil coming down. That it would have that kind of effect still, but it does seem to still be moving in that direction. Oh, I was going to talk about some cool space stuff today. Pluto and Ceres may have their crack at turning back into planets this year, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of people don't know that a very small clique of Pluto haters within the International Astronomical Union Plutoed Pluto back in 2006, but of the approximate 10,000 internationally recognized members of the IAU that were available in 2006, only 237 voted in favor of the resolution redefining Pluto as a dwarf planet. Only 237 out of 10,000. So again, there's some pretty big space missions going on right now. The Dawn spacecraft will arrive at Ceres in March, and New Horizons scheduled to be arriving in Pluto later on this year. These two events, in my opinion, I think are going to knock these guys back into contention to being planet. Both of them, spheroidal objects. They're both round. They're spheres, right? Mercury, Earth, Jupiter, Saturn, just like them. That's part of the agreed upon definition of a planet. And they both orbit a star like Sun, Venus, Mars, Uranus, right? So that's also part of the widely accepted definition of what a planet is. But unlike the larger planets, Ceres and Pluto, according to the IAU definition, has not cleared the neighborhood around its orbit. The asteroid belt is apparently Ceres' neighborhood, while the Kuiper belt is apparently Pluto's neighborhood. But no definition of a planet's neighborhood exists, and no agreed-upon understanding of what the words cleaning the neighborhood yet exists. And furthermore, no broad-based agreement exists as to why clearing the neighborhood would be a requirement in order for an object to be considered a planet. Moreover, if you were to take the Earth and stick it out into an asteroid belt, would it be able to clear out its neighborhood, quote-unquote? It's silly. So it's a planet here. It's not a planet there. Ceres, yes, you spelled it just right, Obsidian. That's where I want to move to if we get the opportunity to go off-world. It does look like a beautiful, beautiful place. Anyway, will Ceres and Pluto's become planets again this year? I hope so. Anyway. We got to go to a 3-minute break. There's lots of more science and tech stuff that I didn't get to, and some important health stuff. They're going to try an entire human head transplant coming up. I'm not making this stuff up. They're trying to do a human head transplant before the end of the year. What a brave new world we're in. Okay, we're going to go to a break, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for sticking with us. When we come back, Wolfgang Halbig will be with us. We'll see you guys in just a few seconds.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
No hate, no hype, no fear.
You're listening to Truth Frequency Radio.
We are TFR.
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys very much for sticking with us through that three-minute break. I reached out to Helbig, and he is signing into Skype right now, so we're just kind of waiting for just a second for him to come online with the Skype here. And here he is now, so just bear with me, guys. I'm going to disconnect. I'll be right back. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let me know that you guys can hear me out there. I hope that you guys can hear us okay. Everybody good? We're good. Somebody give me some love in the Skype here. Here we are. Okay, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for sticking with us through that 3 minute break. I am very, very excited and humbled to be welcoming Wolfgang Helbig back to the show today. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you, I've been talking to Wolfgang for over a year now that you and I have been in contact, sir, and, been kind of watching you as you've been going along with this investigation into Sandy Hook, and, it's been astounding to see the progress that you've made. For you guys out there who don't know Wolfgang, I know there's a lot of new listeners, but he's a nationally recognized school safety and security professional. He's done extensive work in researching and developing the standards for school safety, and he's an expert witness in the field of school safety and security. He's also testified before congressional commissions studying school safety and security. He's also one of the former executive directors of the National Institute for School and Workplace Safety. And what astounds me about this entire situation, Wolfgang, and the reason that I'm going to say it every time you come on the air, the reason that I respect your work so much is that, first of all, I know that you would much rather be retired and hanging out with your grandbabies. This is getting involved with this whole Sandy Hook thing, not really necessarily what you've wanted to be doing the last 2 years of your life. And also the fact that you were a school safety expert, and people came to you and said, how do we prevent situations like Sandy Hook? And you said, well, I don't know. Let me go ask some questions and find out what happened. And essentially, you were asked to do your job, and you were not able to do your job, which means that there are school districts out there that have no idea how to prevent an incident like Sandy Hook now, because nobody can get to the bottom of what actually happened there. And that led so much credibility and integrity to your research, sir. So I want to just let you know personally that I really appreciate just you being out in the world doing what you're doing. It makes me feel good to know that there are Americans out there that actually care about the safety of other people and actually have some altruism in them. It's just, I'm very glad to know you, sir, and I really do appreciate you coming onto the program today.
Hey, thanks a lot, JD. And, you know, as you said, we've known each other for some time now, And you know, it's amazing. All they have to do is answer some very, very simple questions. Mm-hmm. And I would just disappear.
Right. So I guess there's my first question. Did you ever imagine that it was going to take this long, Wolfgang, to bring all this to light?
No, because you remember, you know, Columbine, everybody remembers Columbine. Mm-hmm. If there's one thing that every police officer, every police agency, whether they're local, state, or federal, all the paramedics and EMTs, we learned something unbelievable, and that was called the active shooter response. Everybody across America was hoping and praying that a Columbine could never, ever happen again. Mm-hmm. So they spend millions, I mean, Homeland Security, FEMA, they got together. They have spent hundreds of millions of dollars in making sure that every school district, private and parochial, was going to be prepared in the event of another Columbine. Now, we learned from Columbine. We learned from tragedy. But I'll be doggone it, I can't find the first thing about Sandy Hook in which we're learning something new that could prevent a Sandy Hook. Now, what's the secret at Sandy Hook?
The secret at Sandy Hook? I'm not sure. You tell me.
Well, number one, I would like to know because they won't answer the questions. How are we as a country? How are we as parents who have children in our school system ever going to learn if they can't even answer their own school board adopted policies on emergency management or how we handle emergencies such as Sandy Hook?
Right. Well, let's go back to the beginning just a little bit, just because I know there are some new listeners out there, and I'm not going to make you go through the event of Sandy Hook, but I do want to talk a little bit about why you got involved with the investigation. Obviously, you had some questions. You wanted to know what was going on so that we could prevent it. But then you ended up kind of snowballing a little bit. You got a visit from a couple of the boys in blue up in Connecticut, and that kind of just took this whole thing off. So talk a little bit about how that incident started and then what all of the, you know, the facets of your investigation so far. I know you've got a lot of FOIA requests that are still outstanding, which is unacceptable to me. But just kind of bring us up to speed on all the things that you've done and how you got involved.
You know, what really caught my attention, you know, being a national school safety consultant, I had just gotten through doing a workshop for 200 Florida school board members over in Tampa, Florida. And JD, they wanted to know, what can we do to make sure we don't have a Sandy Hook in our school district here in Florida? You know, we have 67 counties, and I bet you I've been in over three quarters of them helping them develop their emergency management plan. JD, they could not talk about anything else except Sandy Hook because it touched so many people's hearts. Think about it, children, elementary school children. Mm-hmm. And so that event touched so many people's lives across America. So what I started to do is say, you know what? I need to go ask some questions. So I never harassed anybody. I never bothered anybody. I simply, you know, filled out some Connecticut FOIA requests, logical questions, which any school board member or school superintendent should know. And doggone it, I can't get a response from them. They don't return phone calls. They don't respond to my FOIA request. And all of a sudden, a week before Christmas 2014, I've got two homicide investigators from the Lake County Sheriff's Office, the community in which I live, it's a community in which I ran for county commissioner. Everybody knows me. It's a community in which I was the director of risk management for the school district. I've got two homicide investigators in my home threatening me that if I don't stop asking questions about Sandy Hook, that the Connecticut State Police were going to come to my home and arrest me.
And
I said, for what? They said for harassing them with those questions.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. JD, I'm a naturalized citizen. My God, what a privilege it is to live in this country. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they tell me I can't ask questions.
Well, not to mention your extensive experience with law enforcement. I mean, you were a customs official. You've been a state trooper. I mean, you couldn't find a guy that's more straight arrow. I mean, I'm sure everybody's got some vices, but I mean, you seem to be pretty exemplary in terms of, if anybody's going to mount an investigation into this, you're the guy that I want involved, you know?
JD, I've been a teacher. I taught American government, high school seniors, which was a requirement. I mean, I've been assistant principal. I love taking care of other people's children. I mean, kids get in trouble. Mm-hmm. They make foolish decisions. And you know what? If they came to my office, I treated them with respect and dignity. And you know what? I want to be treated with respect and dignity by the Newtown Public School System. Mm-hmm. I want to be treated with respect and dignity by the Newtown Police Department. You know, if you were to call me as a parent, and JD, I may not like you because how you talk to me and how demeaning you are. But you know what? When you call me and you ask me to return a phone call, I have to do it.
Right.
It's my profession. It's part of my job. Newtown Connect, these people could care less. They're as arrogant as can be. They feel like they're above the law. They don't have to respond to Connecticut FOIA laws.
Well, and it seems to stand that they could, not only could they care less about you, but they could care less about figuring out how to prevent an incident that they're saying was one of the most tragic things that's ever happened in the country. It doesn't make any sense logically.
Well, for every listener that you guys have, please, I'm begging you today, don't listen just to Wolfgang, but open your heart and open your minds. If you allow the national news media to brainwash you about Sandy Hook without giving you the proper information, and I can show you how they brainwashed you. Do you know the national news media never ever talked about why did they not order the trauma helicopters?
Right.
In the worst tragic elementary school shooting in history, who didn't pick up the phone and order those trauma helicopters? Do you know there's not one national news media that ever asked that question? Why didn't y'all order trauma helicopters?
Mm-hmm.
That is the first red flag.
We could put it into perspective because I know you understand quite a bit about the Columbine. So let's just put it into perspective. You know, how long was it until trauma helicopters arrived at Columbine?
Well, they're there immediately. I mean, right. You know, once you hear shots fired at a school, trust me, those trauma helicopters, they hear the transmission and people are running to their helicopters. And all they're going to do now is get directions for the logistics on where to land and what they need to do. Listen, people move. People move when there are children and students or teachers dying in the public school system. Oh. But for someone on that day to be sitting in a, whether it's a dispatcher's office or the police vehicle or they're on the ground and not pick up the, at least pick up the phone and call them. At least call them. When I called the LifeStar helicopter, they were disappointed. They never received a call, JD.
Yeah, that's just mind-boggling to me, Wolfgang. I mean, I don't even know how to respond to that. You've got shooter in a building with elementary school kids. It's the only local life flight helicopter service available. You know, I can imagine them there, you know, watching the news, listening to the radio, understanding that the event is going on, hovering around the phone, waiting for that call, and it never came. It just doesn't, you know, how do you excuse that?
Well, you can. See, when you hear shots fired in an elementary school, you're assuming the worst. You're assuming that a child has been shot, mm-hmm. teacher's been shot. I mean, you're just assuming all kind of things. But guess what you do? We've had protocols and procedures. And one of those is to get the medic back up in the air, get a doctor's on board, and be ready to get those kids medical aid as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we've been trained out of Columbine. But I cannot let go of the fact that somebody didn't have the common decency to pick up that dadgum phone and call the trauma helicopters.
And yet they had porta potties and snack food available, which
well, yeah, and think of the logic. Who that morning actually picks up the phone and calls a port? Now, did they use the yellow pages? I don't know.
Right.
How do you, who decides that morning in the yellow pages to pick a porta potty company? And the reason I say that, because they were ordered out of Southbury, Connecticut, which is quite a ways away. So now, they didn't order the porta potties from Newtown, which they have companies in Newtown. They were specially ordered out of Southbury, Connecticut. So who picked up the yellow pages? Who picked them? Who picked up the phone and said, hey, we need 12 porta potties right now, you know? But you can't call the trauma helicopters. Listen, if you're listening to the program today, just think about that. How irresponsible, how reckless, how negligent can you be when you're dealing with children's lives and teachers' lives, JD?
It's astounding to me. It's astounding. And then we've got this entire list of, you know, I've got all your FOIA requests here in front of me, the ones that they have not responded to and are still outstanding. These are not offensive questions. You know, these aren't questions that somebody would be able to say, oh, I can't believe you're asking that. You know, look, let's just look at number one here. What do you want to know? Well, we're talking about the security system that was put in the school. These are simple questions. Who put it in? How much did it cost? Who was supposed to be monitoring it? You know?
But again, JD, the reason I'm actually, see, for the listeners, if they want to know, well, why would you even want to know? Well, what happened after, Sandy Hook, every newspaper around the world, every national news channel, you know what they talked about? The principal, Dawn Hochsprung, just installed a brand new security system before the shooting, right?
Okay.
Well, logically, what would you not want to know what that security system was?
Yes.
Did it have CCTV cameras? Did it have recording devices? I mean, if they say that she just installed a new system, would the public or the national news media not want to know what that entailed?
Have you found any information? I mean, do we know anything about the security system that was in the building?
The thing that I have found is that someone installed a security system at Sandy Hook Elementary School and Meadow Lane Elementary School back in 2007. They spent $4,322 at each school, but they wouldn't give me a description of what that entailed.
Oh, okay.
But remember, that was installed in 2007, 2008. So why would the, but see, go back to this other question. Then why would the national news media, newspaper, and magazine say the principal just installed a brand new system? Mm-hmm. Well, how can 2008 be brand new?
Well, and why would you even bring it up if your next move was not going to be, and here's the video from that system? You know, why would you, it's like, you don't show a scene in the first scene of a movie or a prop in the first scene of a movie without coming back and using it in the third scene or whatever. It seems very unusual that they would say, oh, we have this brand new security system and we're not going to tell you anything about it. And apparently it was completely, obviously it wasn't effective if this whole shooting, if we were to believe that the shooting happened. So just for public record, people might want to know, that this isn't a security system or company that you want to go with because it didn't prevent this activity. So all of those reasons, I think, are great reasons to dig into that simple aspect.
Each question that I have has a rationale or a nexus for asking the question. Why did the news media not go to this security company? They're located in Monroe, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. What knucklehead, what idiot of a security company installs a security system such as a camera, but not provide them a recording mechanism?
Right.
Now, that's not even logical. Can you imagine you got an angry, hostile parent trying to get into the school, buzzing in. You see his picture on all of the monitors inside the school, and then, you know, he's beating on the door, and next thing you know, he's running away. Now we can never find out who he was because we didn't bother to record it.
Right. Yeah, it just makes no sense at all.
Now, do you know what? But not one news media went to Monroe, Connecticut and said, here's a mic. Would you tell us why you wouldn't put a recorder in there?
Mm-hmm.
See, again, it's the national news media not doing their job, JD.
Yeah, or being paid to not do their job, or maybe they're doing their job, you know. I wonder if they're doing their job. I mean, again, if this whole thing is a hoax, then the ramp up of fear so that they can pass the laws and things like that, it's part of the game, in my opinion, you know.
Well, this thing, this event, this illusion, I don't call it a hoax, I call it an illusion, and it took probably 2.5, 3 years, but it has inflicted emotional distress and millions of innocent people all across this country, JD. Mm-hmm. And not only has it caused emotional distress, it has created panic and fear in our public schools. As of today, just looking at some of the data, we've spent $5.6 billion in security systems since Sandy Hook.
Wow. Well, and they're also trying to pass laws now about psychological testing of kids now in all the schools. They want to make sure that there aren't any, you know, crazy lone wolf type kids out there. So we're not, it's not just going to be, you know, the metal detectors and the companies that make money doing that, but it's also the ridiculous pharmaceutical companies that are going to be, you know, coming in and saying, all these kids need to be drugged and things like that. We need to test them all. So I can see the slippery slope that we're on, you know, I'm sure as clearly as you can.
And they're trying to sell it as a second amendment, you know, taking our guns away. I don't think it's about our Second Amendment. I think this whole thing is contrived as a mental health issue because they're coming in the back door. Connecticut now is using Sandy Hook. Any parent who lives in Connecticut, this is a new law that wants to homeschool their child. Now think about your state, where you live, and how many parents decide to homeschool their children?
Mm-hmm. Many.
Connecticut has passed a law that if you want to homeschool your child has to have a complete and comprehensive psychiatric examination.
Unbelievable. Especially given the fact that psychological evaluations are pretty much hogwash. There's no mental testing that they can do. They're not going to isolate a chemical imbalance. None of that stuff exists. It's just they're going to look at your behavior and decide how much money they can make off you and give you some drugs. That's
but
really
you know what? You just made a great point. And part B to what I just said, okay, the mom and dad takes their child to the psychiatrist, right? Mm-hmm. But you're going to say, that psychiatrist going to say, oh, yeah, I think your child needs some more counseling.
Right.
It's a way for him or her to make more money.
Yeah, and you're in the books as somebody who, you know, would rather not have your kids in public school, so now you're on a list, you know?
No, not that you're on the list. You have a file.
Right.
You as a student or a child, on that day, they've created a file saying that you've had mental health counseling. And one day, if you ever want to buy a gun, guess what? You can't buy it because you've had mental health issues.
That's right.
They're coming in the back door. And JD, I promise you, once it starts somewhere, there's a movement across the country. And I'll give you an example. What television show created the paramedics and EMTs across the United States? There's a television show. One television show, and it made every city, county, and state have paramedics. You remember that one, or you're too young?
I'm thinking of my Nick at Night days, but I don't know. You tell me.
It's Emergency One. It was a TV series filmed in L.A., and what they had is the fire trucks, but they also had a unit, Unit 51, and they were a paramedic and an EMT with phone lines to the hospital, emergency room. They were allowed to treat the patient. Can you imagine a television show changed the entire way we treat emergency services? Now, Connecticut is requiring children to have mental health screening. And the next thing you know, we're going to put them on medication.
Right.
They'll never be able to buy a gun, and it's going to ruin their lives.
Well, and it makes a lot of money for the schools too. A lot of people don't know that if you've got a kid in your school that's on medication, they are a special needs kid, and you get subsidies from that. And I only know that because somebody in my family is an assistant principal at a high school, and I asked him flat out. I said, "Do you guys make money? Do you get subsidized by the government for having these quote unquote problem kids?" And of course they do. So it's a big money making scheme for pharmaceuticals. I think you might be right that it's directly related to the mental health issue, and that's a scary slippery slope. I mean,
well, if Connecticut is doing it, then guess what? You've got another 49 states lining up to follow the directives of the federal government.
Okay, well, I want to get us back on track with some of these FOIA requests that you've still got outstanding, because they're all, as you said, there's all a nexus between why you ask these questions and what we're trying to, get into the mindsets of the people. Now, the second one has to do with the reputation of the school itself being, something of an exemplary example of, perfection in the New England area there. Do you want to talk about that one a little?
Well, yeah, if you watch Sandy Hook and you watch this tragedy unfold across the news within the next several days of the event, ABC, CBS, CNN, every one of the major national news channels, they put on their screen how Sandy Hook Elementary School is so picturesque. It's mm-hmm. a vanguard school. It is the best of the best. Parents moved from all over the country just to have their child enrolled at Sandy Hook.
Okay.
Well, that made me ask the question, okay, how good is Sandy Hook? Uh-huh. So all you have to do, JD, is take the crime scene photos of December 14th, 2012 that were taken by the Connecticut State Police. Look at the pictures of the school, both outside and inside, JD. It is the most filthiest, it's the most deplorable, it's a toxic waste dump, and I cannot imagine any parent with good common sense ever sending their child to that school knowing they could suffer a lifelong serious health risk with a high level of lead paint, asbestos,
right.
PCP. Who would send their child to that school?
I certainly would. I mean, it looked to me like they were planning on trying to do a renovation, and then they shut it down because they realized how much hazmat was actually in the school. And that was all the way, what, 2013? They thought they were going to redo it, and then they said, well, no, that's going to be really, really bad. So I think you're right on track there, sir.
Well, the other thing is, I know this from being in the school system all my life, and you have someone that's an assistant principal, I can guarantee you, Dawn Hochsprung, who was the principal of that school supposedly, mm-hmm. she being an educator would have never, ever allowed her school to be that filthy and that deplorable. Let me tell you, there isn't a principal. They have pride. It's their castle. It's their home. They live at that school.
Right.
She would have never, ever allowed her school to look that filthy and deplorable. Hmm.
Well, the pictures do tell a pretty startling story when you look at them. It doesn't look like this. I mean, it looks like a perfect place for a drill, if you ask me.
Well, if you take a look at the inside photos of the hallway, just look at the hallway.
Yeah, they're filthy.
There are no decorations. You're right. It is totally filthy. Mm-hmm. But look at the floor, 6 to 8 inches up on both sides. They run horizontally.
That's some water damage.
It was flooded.
Right.
That's a mold line. That is a water line. It's something that they didn't ever remove. That school was flooded. And part of the request that I have is, you know, request for work orders they refused to give me.
Wouldn't that be public record, work orders, in terms of that? I mean, that shouldn't be that difficult to find, right?
Well, if you look at, again, school board policy, Newtown, Connecticut, it mandates that every school in the Newtown public school system must be inspected, okay? For health and safety. By August 1st of every school year, and that assessment has to be given to the superintendent, who turns around, gives it to the board, who gives it to the director of finance so they can allocate funding to repair it.
Makes sense. Okay.
Okay. So if the board policy says that you have to do these things, and then it says, here's the kicker. The kicker is that each of those, inspections, they have to be kept so they can develop a 5-year maintenance plan.
Right.
And budget money for 5 years out. So public records, yeah, they have them. They just refuse to give them to me.
Unbelievable. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready to go to this 3-minute break. I want to encourage all of you guys, please go to sandyhookjustice.com. Let's get some support for Wolfgang. Again, tip of the spear in terms of the Sandy Hook investigation, and a very, very credible and intelligent gentleman. Very happy to be supporting him. I want all of you guys to go there as well. We're going to go to this 3-minute break. When we come back, we'll talk about some more of these simple questions and where we're at right now with these FOIA requests. And I know you've got a little bit more big news going on as well, Wolfgang, so we'll break into that in just a few minutes. Keep it right here, guys. Your daily dose of deprogramming, redpillreports.com. Right back.
Joe Joseph here for Truth Frequency Radio. According to allgov.com, since 9/11, a total of 238 Americans have died from a terrorist attack. That's 24 a year, making your chance of dying 1 in 625,000. Conversely, you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of becoming a victim of police brutality. Yet we spend trillions of dollars on the war on terror while militarizing an abusive police force. At TruthFrequencyRadio.com, we have a team of the very best personalities in independent media. A team that's dedicated to bringing you reliable and rock-solid news and information so you can arm yourself with knowledge and join the fight against worldwide oppression and tyranny. Truth Frequency Radio. News without the hate, hype, and fear.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money, has a storage life of 100 years, all for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine Now. Only at hempusa.org.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
The brothers gonna work it out.
Staunching Tyranny with Jim and Jeff Staunch.
Monday on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for sticking with us through that three-minute break. We are in our final segment today with today's guest, our very special guest, Wolfgang Halbig. Again, the website that I would love all of you guys to go to and support as much as you can is sandyhookjustice.com. We're talking today about the latest developments in this entire Sandy Hook situation. Wolfgang obviously being at the tip of the spear in terms of investigation and in terms of really putting throwing the gauntlet down, taking some action and trying to get some things answered here. Wolfgang, really quick, if people go to sandyhookjustice.com, are they able to then find all of these FOIA requests and some of the pictures that we were just talking about of the inside of the
spear?
Okay.
Right. They'll be able to see that. And also, I've actually put a videotape up. It's called Real Time.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's the only video that you'll ever see where it has a time stamp on it. It's live, where you see the chase in the woods, JD.
Oh, really?
I got it from two Connecticut state troopers that they saved it.
Right.
You will not find it. I've been posting it everywhere I can so people can actually see it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
JD, it's got the time stamp, it's got the weather, and it's a live news anchor trying to explain what he's seeing from the helicopter.
Right, right. And I might be fuzzy on the whole situation, but I don't recall a time when Adam Lanza was running through the woods with a rifle. Maybe I'm fuzzy on it, but.
No, it was not. But JD, the national news media, you know, they've got a script and I think they set it up really nicely because at 9:39, 13 a.m. that morning, you can hear the Newtown police dispatcher say, and you can hear it all across the country, a teacher has just reported seeing two shadows running behind the gym.
Right.
Now you're starting to visualize, right? Oh my God, shots fired. two people are now running behind the gym. It's got to be the shooters. Can you see that being visualized?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, and the next thing you know, here come the helicopters. Boy, they're shooting that footage of police running and chasing people into the woods, and they're splintering off. And then next thing you know, I got somebody proned out, right?
Right, yep.
Guess what? They got you hooked. You actually believe it happened when that morning, right?
Right.
When you look at the footage on my website, real time, that helicopter footage and the chase in the woods did not take place till 12:23 p.m. in the afternoon.
Wow.
How is that even possible?
How is that even possible? I mean, that's hours after the incident.
That is after they had lunch inside the school.
Wow.
And the reason it's true, because when the governor arrives at Sandy Hook Firehouse, they scan away from the chase in the woods. Naturally, they got to cover the governor, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they go to a full screen, and the governor shows up, and they watch him walk into the firehouse. And as soon as he disappears, guess what? Back to the helicopter, live coverage, chase in the woods.
Right.
See, it's people... Again, I think they were brainwashed. They were hooked. They were emotionally attached to an event that involved children. And I can understand it because they had me hooked. I actually donated $100 United Way in the first 3 days of the shooting.
Right.
I was convinced that children died. Teachers died on that day. And I'm telling you, I'm angry to this day that they should be answering my questions.
I agree. Well, I don't want to go through all of the rest of these FOIA questions because they're all very, very good. But if you had to pick another couple that you felt like were at the top of the list, again, stuff that people really need to take a step back and consider, what would they be?
Well, you got to remember, you have to have a nexus in order to ask a question. You remember the thing that the news media kept showing? There was this big traffic sign flashing.
Yes.
Everyone must sign in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that not a logical question? If that's a true statement that everyone must sign in, well, that sign was paid for by tax dollars.
Right.
That sign had to be transported from somewhere to the school, to the firehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had to program it, right?
Yep.
One of the FOIA requests is, I want copies of all those that signed in on December 14th, 2012. Is that not logical?
Seems logical to me, yeah.
They refused to answer it. They said they're not going to give it to me.
Hmm.
Well, if you're going to put a sign up says that everyone must sign in, then tell me who it was that signed in and where are they from?
It makes sense to me. I mean, again, every time we ask a simple question, there just doesn't seem to be any answer to it. And it's the lack of answers that makes you more suspicious. You know, it's like they're trying to dig their own hole here.
Well, it's really to me, I call this a tragedy within a tragedy, that the people who responded to a supposed heinous crime refused to help teach others to prevent another tragedy from happening across the country. That's the tragedy.
I agree. So where are we at now, Wolfgang? What's the status of these FOIA requests and what else is going on in terms of your involvement with this research?
Well, you know, like I've said this, I guess now 18, 19 months ago, the only way, JD, that we can ever, ever find a solution to this, we've got to take them to the court. So I filed a lawsuit here in Florida because it's a place where I live. I didn't go to Connecticut. The judge has granted me for that lawsuit to move forward. She allowed me to have 10 subpoenas that we've issued this last week. They've been served all across the country, and by March the 2nd at 9 a.m., we requested certain discovery information. It has to be in her office. If it's not there, then the judge will file contempt charges against those who refuse to provide us the information.
Wow.
Let me tell you, we've come a long ways, but it costs money. I had to hire attorneys. I mean, you got to hire process servers. I mean, I'll be glad to send you my legal bills. People don't realize how detailed and how much work it goes into working with the court system.
Oh, I'm sure it's astronomical. And that's why, again, I would love it if people could go to sandyhookjustice.com. Just make a small donation. You know, every little bit helps. And again, you know, Wolfgang, I know I maybe pigeonholed you earlier, but you can back me up on this. There's a lot of other things you would rather be doing than dealing around with this whole Sandy Hook situation. Am I wrong?
I don't want to be doing this. I don't want to be doing this. I'm 69 years old. I got 3 granddaughters. I just got back from Georgia playing with a bunch of cows and kids. I love my retirement. And yeah, I help when people ask. I'm still in the safety business. I still do workshops. I just got back from Long Island doing a workshop for 200 people. And JD, half of them were NYPD police officers.
Really?
Paramedics. And you can actually see it on YouTube. Wolfgang Goes to Long Island. Watch the video. These are police officers who want to know the truth. And I got to say this. We were there for 3.5 hours. Mm-hmm. Not one person in that audience questioned me or my integrity. Mm-hmm. They want to know the truth. And that's what everybody else should be doing today. Look for the truth. Don't listen to me. Look for the truth.
I agree. But I'll tell you what, SandyHookJustice.com is a good place to start, because you really do need to put yourself in the perspective of being one of these parents and getting that word that something's going on at the school, and then thinking, you know, what would I like to see? What would I like to send the response to be? And then you look at the disparity between what you would expect a school system to do for your kids and the teachers and what actually happened. And it becomes very apparent to me that this entire event was scripted, and it was, as you said, you know, a force to move ahead an agenda, be it either gun control or mental health screening, things like that. I want to just pause for just a second. I want to go ahead and open up the phone lines. If you guys are out there and have any questions or comments for Wolfgang, I would love to hear from you guys. You can call in at 866-37-TRUTH or 866-378-7884, and I will keep an eye on the phone boards. And if you guys, as I said, have questions or comments for Wolfgang, I will patch you through, and we'll take it away from there. I had a question in the chat room about where to find the police the video that you were just mentioning on the website with the live footage from the helicopters. That's, you said, available on your website as well?
Yes, it is. It's, if you look at the video, it's on my website, and you will be amazed. And what I'm asking your listeners to do, look at where the chase starts. It actually starts under the canopy of the front of the school at 1223.
Are you kidding?
And they got people standing around. Now, here's what I'm trying to do. If anybody knows how to help me, I have called this Channel A, WTNH, in New Haven, Connecticut. They get the real copy of the footage, you know, right, with a full screen. Guess what? They refused to even respond to me.
Wow. It's not surprising, given all the other, you know, everything else that's going on. It's not really that surprising.
Well, I think if people will really look at it for what it is, they should demand a congressional investigation. I think when you have 28 sworn police officers, both city and Connecticut, and they falsify their sworn police statements under oath, those are felonies. Can you imagine 28 police officers? That in itself should warrant a grand jury investigation. It should request Congress to open up an investigation. Because this thing starts at the highest level of government, from the president's office all the way down to the local government.
Wow. Wolfgang, what's the title of that video on your website, if I can?
I think it's Real Time, something like Real Time. It's down at the bottom, and it actually shows a picture of the school with police officers in it.
Okay. Okay, cool. I'm going to jump to the phone lines here real quick, because we do have some callers lining up. So I'm going to just go ahead and hop on board here. We've got a caller from North Carolina. You are on the air with Wolfgang Halbig. Go ahead, please.
JD?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey.
Hi.
I'm Ms. Halbig.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm breathing and staying warm.
Well, you know what? Come to Florida, too. I'm wearing my shorts and flip-flops. Anybody who's listening in the snow area, come to Florida.
Don't tempt me. Don't tempt me. I'm just finding it interesting about the various politicians, Congress, House, whatever you want to call it, in D.C., are obviously very well paid as far as the attorneys are concerned, to keep quiet or keep mum about the scenario with that. The only reason that this is even being addressed is because you're addressing it, you're being threatened about it, and so forth, nauseam. And outside of you addressing it, there are people in society that are bringing it to the forefront of awareness to other people, if they're even willing to listen. But it sounds like you're going to have to literally do a major lawsuit just for freedom of information, I guess. I don't know. To actually bring this to the forefront even more so and in their face, because the major media has paid off to keep mum about the situation. And it's just a total fiasco of a false flag hokey situation. So none of this surprises me that...
Yeah,
go ahead.
I just want to share this. I actually believe, being a naturalized citizen, this is a game changer. If we the people, if we who love our country as we should, come together on the grassroots momentum, this is a game changer for America. This is the biggest wake-up call for every American, for every parent who has a child. The government cannot use children and teachers as props to push along their personal agendas,
yes,
and make money left and right, and then inflict emotional stress on all of us.
Man.
Well,
amen,
just
brother.
a finishing thought for you. If you actually get this through, where they actually do a legitimate investigation, actually come up with answers for those questions that you have, which are very simple and basic to start with, that they're digging their own hole about, once that is done and actually come out in truth, a light about it, you realize that will absolutely snowball into bringing it into the public view legally what happened legitimately about 9/11.
Can I tell you what? You made a great point there. Are you ready? I think Sandy Hook is the game changer that will expose Boston Marathon. It'll expose 9/11. It'll expose the Aurora school shooting.
Yes.
And that's why I'm so passionate. You know what? I've been asleep. I'm old. I've been asleep. But when they send those police officers to my house, and if you could have seen their eyes, and they're threatening me to stop asking questions, I knew something is not right.
Mm-hmm.
I knew there was something not right. You don't threaten somebody. And so, guess what? They woke me up.
Oh, yeah. If it comes to a dirty look at your door or a gun in your face, that if that doesn't wake you up, then, oh, well, I'm not going to go there. But, yes, you've rung a lot of bells as far as what's going on.
Well, you know, and what's amazing, it's not just that they send these guys to my house the first time. 3 weeks later, I had uniformed deputy sheriffs in my house, and they were directed by the police chief of Newtown, Mike Kehoe. He demanded that these policemen tell me that if I ever come to Newtown, I need to check in. And the police chief and the police department wanted to know how many handguns I owned. Now think about that question in America. That's none of their damn business.
That's right. So, okay, Fran, thank you very much for the phone call. Really appreciate you calling in today. You take care. Have a great one. Wolfgang, since she did bring up, or the, well, you just mentioned the fact that you're, you know, essentially not allowed to go back to Newtown. When are you going to go back to Newtown there, buddy?
Very shortly.
Right? What's going on when you go, if we can talk about it?
Well, I'm not going to say where or what, but I am going to go back up there, and I'm going to probably spend about a week and a half. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that we didn't talk about, there is still the issue, the Connecticut Freedom of Information Commission is about to set a date for us to be appear in front of them, and they're going to require the city of Newtown, Newtown School Board, city of Newtown Police Department, JD, they're going to have to show cause as to why they're refusing to answer my FOIA request, which is, guess what, we've come a long way.
Right. So
I
this
still
is
still don't have the date, though.
Okay, but this is part of the formal, the appeal process, is that
right,
that's correct?
Correct. That's the appeal process.
All right. And people in the chat room are curious, when you do go back, are you in fact going to check in with the police department there?
Oh, yeah, I will. I will personally show up at the police department. I'll sign in, tell them I'm here. Absolutely.
Oh, there you go.
You know, JD, the last time I just found this out, the last time we were up there, they actually had a detective in an unmarked vehicle following everything I did from the time I landed at the airport.
Wow.
To the time I left at the airport. Let me tell you, that's how they're worried about me. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And they shouldn't. All they gotta do is answer the questions.
Well, they can't though. They've obviously got such a vested interest in keeping this storyline going, that they're willing to send. I mean, the fact that they sent from Connecticut to your house, detectives. That is mind-boggling to anybody out there listening. I mean, that is so above and beyond normal procedure. It just doesn't make any sense to me at all. So obviously, to say that they are threatened by you would be a significant understatement, Wolfgang.
Well, and I promised this to my wife. She's really having a hard time with it. I promised this to her. If they answer those 10 questions that I send you this morning, if they answer it to your and my satisfaction, JD, I can make you a promise. And you know, I keep my promises. I will run to the nearest mental health facility and I will voluntarily enroll myself.
Okay.
Because JD, I can't hurt people. I can't hurt people's feelings. I can't hurt a community.
Right.
But if I am wrong, I need serious, serious mental health.
I think we both do, man. I think we both. There's just still, there's so many questions we haven't even gotten into today regarding the anomalies at the incident. I guess what I'd like to ask though is, what do you think that winning is going to look like? What do you hope will be the, I know we think we're going to unravel, you know, this, we're going to uncover the rabbit hole that'll lead us to the answers of Aurora and 9/11. But just in terms of Sandy Hook, you know, what do you hope the outcome is actually going to be? And what do you think it's really going to take to make that outcome come to light?
Well, I think whether it's through the lawsuits or whether it's through the Freedom of Information Commission, I tend to prove that the school could not have been working on that day because how filthy and deplorable it is, because it was a toxic waste dump. I just cannot imagine the school board, the superintendent actually being that, operating that school and allowing children to be exposed to those risks. So if there's no school that was functioning on that day, how can there be a mass casualty shooting?
Right.
That's where I'm at. And I'm using, JD, I'm using their school board policies in trying to find the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I told you, they're inspecting the schools every year. It has to be done. And what they don't know is I have a copy of the 5-year building maintenance plan.
Right.
I've already got it. I know that it wasn't working. So no matter what they say to me, somebody anonymously send me that just so I can have that as evidence.
Yes, and so they can contact you through sandyhookjustice.com if they want to send you anything, if there is anybody out there listening.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, we got about 5 minutes left, Wolfgang. What do you think we want to leave the listeners with today, since we probably won't be able to talk to you again until after, you know, some things happen in
March
terms of...
March the 2nd is a key date, JD.
Okay. What's going on March the 2nd?
Well, they have to remember is when they have to respond to the subpoenas.
Right. Do you care to comment? I forgot to mention this earlier. There was an article a couple of weeks ago. It looked like a couple of the families had teamed up to actually file a lawsuit, which was one of the things that you had kind of indicated, you know, hadn't happened yet and was obviously an anomaly. And I mentioned that to you. What are your thoughts on this lawsuit that's come to light? Not the really big one, but the one that seems to be, you know, headed up by some of the family members.
I think it's, again, misdirection, misinformation. It's just to keep people talking and keeping them, trying to keep them to lose focus on what the real issues are. And those are the questions that you and I have been raising for, what, 18 months?
About, yeah.
And you know what? If you're going to file a lawsuit, why only two parents? I mean, think about it. 26 people died on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And if two people claim that there is negligence by the school district, then why not all 26 file that same lawsuit?
Great question. Why do you think it is that the only two filed?
Well, because guess what? I don't think it happened.
Really?
How? Well, why would you not answer the questions? Listen, they could have gotten rid of me long time ago.
Right.
You don't have to send police to my house and threaten me to go away. I mean, answer the questions. People have a right to know. America has a right to know. And I beg them to contact their senators and congressmen. They have a right to know the truth.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. I don't know what else to do, Wolfgang. I mean, I don't know how else we can continue to drive this point home. For me, I try and imagine myself as a family member of somebody, you know, who allegedly died there. We've got the situation with the kids that were allegedly at the Super Bowl that nobody seems to have commented on after the fact. There's just so many anomalies with this issue that it almost cannot be a real event. You know what I mean?
JD, what breaks my heart as we end this interview, I just cannot imagine. I mean, I was a state trooper. I had to do death notification. I just cannot, I cannot imagine that there is a parent in America today that if they had their child shot and killed in the school, elementary school, and they had to go to the morgue, that the medical examiners would not allow ever to see their child.
I would kick a hole in a medical examiner's chest if they tried to keep me away from my kid.
Let me tell you, any parent, if they say, I want to touch my child, I cannot imagine the medical examiners not allowing them to do that. No child should lay on the steel table, die, dead, and leave this world without a parent being there with them. I mean, think about it. My dog just died here recently, you know, at the vet's office.
Yeah.
I mean, I cried.
Oh, yeah.
I held my dog's paw because I did not want my dog. I mean, it brought so much joy and love to our family.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make sure I was there. Can you imagine? We couldn't even do that at Sandy Hook with the children who died that day. I mean, what is wrong with these people?
I think that list is longer than the amount of time that we have left in the show, my friend. If I'm perfectly honest.
I'm hoping that I'm saying it in the right way, but this is a game changer, JD.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. And I want to just encourage everybody, please go to sandyhookjustice.com. I want to make sure that we're putting as much support behind you as we possibly can. Wolfgang, again, I really appreciate just you being out there in the world. I know that you were not born an American, but that you went through a lot to become one, and that I know how much that means to you. And it means a lot to me, and I'm sure it means a lot to the listeners, just to know that there's somebody like you out there who's willing to, again, you could be retired right now. You could be hanging out with your grandbabies and not involved with this. You could have heeded the warnings from the troopers from Connecticut and said, you know what, I'm way too in the deep end of the pool, and you didn't do that. You stood up, you're doing something altruistic for everyone else, and it's very commendable. And I very much appreciate you coming onto the program today, and I want everyone out there to continue to encourage you in what you're doing for all of us, sir.
Nah, JD, it's, you know what, you allowed me to have a voice today, and you have a passion for the truth, and you do such a great job, and I thank you for everything that you're doing. And I really appreciate you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, we're all in this together, ladies and gentlemen. And again, just please keep this incident in mind, because again, we're on the cusp of an exceptionally slippery slope right now, and it does look like they're going to continue moving forward with these agendas. And I think Wolfgang is just, if we can get to the bottom of this, we can get this thing resolved, and that we can start looking at all of the other truths that have been staring us in the face for so long regarding Aurora, you know, and 9/11 and all of these other things. This is how we do it, ladies and gentlemen. We get together, we have these discussions about incidents that may not necessarily be the most, you know, it's not pleasant things to be thinking about. The idea that 26 people could have been gunned down in cold blood, or the scarier aspect of the fact that it might not have happened, and it might be part of an agenda to control us, just like every other agenda that we seem to come across every single day. So again, really, really thankful for all of you tuning in today. All the well wishes that we are getting through the chat room to Wolfgang, I'm sure he appreciates. Please continue to send him positive vibes, and we're just going to continue to support him. Appreciate you guys all listening to the program today. I hope you guys took a lot away from that. Tomorrow, Michael Cremo is going to be on the show, and we're going to be talking about anomalous anthropology and anomalous archaeology. Try and get to the bottom of what is actually going on the planet and our history and things like that. So I appreciate you guys being here yet again. Looking forward to a fantastic show on Friday. You guys all take care, and good luck to all of us out there as we're going forward. We'll see you guys again tomorrow. Thank you again for being here. Take care, everybody.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information without the hate, hype, and fear. We are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Sherry Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.